This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Invest Talk, November 12, 2014. We're here every weekday to help you make the most of your money. We, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5, we're live. We talk about reading stock market trends, the economy, what's going on with elections, because politics matter to the stock market. We can help you with the process of building a more balanced portfolio. We hope that we are a resource. Invest Talk is a resource. And we hope that you will use it. Again, lines are open right now. And if you're listening to us between the hours of 4 and 5 Pacific time, of course, you get in on the conversation, you know, right now. In the other time, you can call us and just ask a question, and we'll answer on the next program. And so we're going to get to those in just a minute. We talk about the six steps of financial success. The very first one is to organize. This is probably one of the hardest steps for everybody to do. Gather and make accessible all your important documents. Understand what you have. Increase your financial awareness, you know, where are you financially? It also refers to organizing your thinking. Managing money today is not what it was in your grandfather's time. It's many more times complex. You have a lot more choices than your grandparents did. A lot more choices and a lot much less expensive choices. That's the promise and the reward of the internet and speed and computers and data. I mean, it gives you, opens up a variety of doors of a lot more information, a lot more choices of investments, but that also makes it more complex, much more complex. So hopefully tonight on our free webinar, tonight 6:30 p.m., 6:30 to 7:30, 1 hour, hopefully we're going to help you wrap your arms around this whole universe of retirement preparation. Now, today our main talking point will be a preview of our webinar this evening, so you'll get a better idea of what the content will be in our hour-long webinar tonight. 6:30, got to sign up for it. 6:30, it's free. But I know you have individual questions on your mind right now, so that's our number one job. So don't wait. Check in right now. No question is too simple or basic. Just call. Now, let's get to the phone. We're going to go ahead and take a call right now from John in Carmel Mountain. How you doing, John?
Fine, Steve. I wanted to ask you about, can you hear me right?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
I wanted to ask you about Honeywell, the symbol H-O-N.
You want to be a buyer of it? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, and, you know, I got a friend also who actually owns it, whether he should hold on to it. So, and I was thinking if he's going to hold on to it or at this position, maybe I would buy. So what do you think of it, Steve?
It's a very, Honeywell International is a very solid blue chip company out of Morris Township, New Jersey. It's a $76 billion company. It is not small. It's big. And it is growing. Now, being that big, they can't grow fast, but they're growing in the mid-single digits, 5%, 4, 5, 6, 7% in the last year. Provides automotive, aerospace products, security technologies, specialty chemicals, and engine systems, so it's a conglomerate kind of company. Pays a 2.1% dividend, and earnings are going up 12% this year, then 10% next year. Very good return on equity. It is a really good, solid company, okay? You can't go wrong owning this company for the long term. It doesn't have a lot of debt, 26% return on equity. Mutual funds have been slowly buying it over the last year. And it had a nice dip down to about $84 on the correction from like 96, 97 down to 84, and now it's back up to 97. So, you know, that would have been a great time. But no one ever knows when it went down there in about a month and then made it all up almost in 3 days. So, you know, it was like the whole market. It was very difficult to take advantage of it. Is it a good company?
Is there a gap, though, Steve? Is there a gap where technically it could go down and fill the gap?
There was a gap up from like 86-something to like 89. And it's common for a gap to be filled to go back there and retest those lows and fill that gap. And if it does that, John, that's when you want to be a buyer of it.
got it.
Okay. It may not do it, but
if you held it like my friend, you'd still hold on to it, and the dividend is safe, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Very, very, very reliable dividend. And they're going to increase it every year, too. Every year.
Oh, great.
Okay, Honeywell, thanks for the call. H-O-N is the symbol, everybody. Once you determine what will give you peace of mind in retirement, it's important to know how you can get there. I'm talking about financially. So how about a retirement preparation checklist? How about one of those? Those would be good. That's going to be one of our talking points today. Also, why aren't more workers being hired? Now, we do have, jobs. We have grown jobs to over 200,000 new jobs a month for 6 months now. But why is there so many? There's a lot more openings, but they're not being filled. We're going to field. I'm going to talk about that. Gold may do something it hasn't done in 17 years. Can you determine what that is? Gold may do something it hasn't done in 17 years. I'm going to tease you with that. What is it? I'll talk about that. United States, Washington, asked Europe to do something about their economy. It's kind of interesting. We're telling them they should be doing something, and they're not. What are we telling them? And it's pretty much true, by the way. Those are the things I'm going to talk about. What is it on your mind? What do you want to discuss? We have our workshop coming up tonight, 6:30, our webinar. I hope you can be there. Okay, and the market was mixed again today. You know, the market is having a real struggle here. It went down 10%, right? What made all that up really quick. And now it's just struggling to go eke out a little bit of increase every day. Today, the Dow was down 3. The NASDAQ was up 14. And the S&P was down 2. So it's really kind of sputtering here. Now, is it sputtering for another leg up or leg down? No one really knows. I can tell you this, the earnings season that just ended was pretty good. A lot of companies beat their expectations, and earnings growth was like around 7-8%. Much better than 3-4% the quarter before. Now, reporting after hours was Cisco, and they beat their expectations, but the stock is way down. Why? Because the CEO said, I don't think it's going to be so good next quarter. The quarter we're in right now. He's kind of trying to get everybody to ratchet down their expectations. And so the market's going to not like that when it opens tomorrow. It's not going to like Cisco because of that. Even though they beat the earnings, and earnings look great. Nope. Don't like it. Above average investing for the average investor. Don't settle for second-rate results. Do what you need to do to reduce risk and improve performance. So let's help you get there. We're here for you. 888-99-CHART.
How do college savings plans work? Which one is best? How do I dial up the risk in my portfolio to improve performance? Some of the topics on tap for this Wednesday's Wealth Workshop webinar. It's tonight. Sign up for free on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to John in San Mateo. How you doing, John?
I'm doing well, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Great. I have a question for you. It's not necessarily directly related towards investing. Uh-huh. We recently took a home equity line of credit out of our property, and what we're trying to do is pay down some debt. You know, we figure the market's good, the housing value's up, we kind of capitalize on the good housing market. What's the best suggestion that you have on how to use some of this home equity line of credit to pay down our revolving credit debt? Want to get some insight from you on that.
Okay. You always want to pay the most expensive debt off first, okay? That would be any credit card. That's normally what is the highest debt cost is the credit card debt, your revolving credit card debt. There is some negative about using the equity from your house to do that because remember that house, when you borrow money against the house, that's long-term borrowing, right? I mean, so there's going to be long-term interest rates that you're going to. It's going to be expensive over long term, but it is smarter to pay off the high credit card debt first. If you have student loans, I wouldn't pay those off quickly at all, because that debt is usually very, very cheap, and you might be able to make more money on your money than paying that off. And housing, you know, housing mortgages are very cheap too. So they're so cheap that even though I don't, you know, the concept is contrary to my internal beliefs, only because I'm prejudiced about it. The concept of borrowing money and paying off debt is a good one, as long as you have discipline about the money you're borrowing at the house. In other words, you don't go crazy and go out and buy a new car and buy some clothes and I'm going to make a trip with my house mortgage money that I've been borrowing against the equity of my house. Don't do that. But the idea of paying off high debt with low-cost debt to pay off high-cost debt, I think that makes perfect sense. You do that.
Okay, great. So, and is this the home equity line of credit, is that perceived as the same thing as like a revolving line of credit? Or are they two different types of credit we're talking about?
They're two different types of credit. It's more of a mortgage loan, a home equity line, as opposed to credit card loan, whatever kind of the loan. So you wouldn't call that a revolving debt credit, which is your credit cards that every month. But those credit cards are the death knell to building wealth, because they're so expensive. And you get addicted to spending money and having new things. And people overspend what they have instead of spending what they make.
Fantastic. I think that helps out there. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, John. Becoming wealthy is not rocket science. All it means is spend less money than you make. I don't care how much you make. You just got to spend less than it is. And every time you get a raise, don't spend all the raise. Take half of that, put it in a 401k or IRA. Save it. Invest it. By the time you're 65, you'll be wealthy, if you can do that over the length of time. I mean, one of my pet peeves for a lot of people is buying new cars all the time. Why? Of course everybody wants a new car, but that is a depreciating item. And, why would you want a monthly payment on a car? I save up my money. I write a check for the car. I've done that ever since my first new car when I was 21. I only borrowed once when I was 17 afford to buy a car, and I did not like paying all that interest, and figured out early that, man, that's how these companies make money. That's how these people make money. They make money off of me. I'm not going to let them do that. So cars are nothing but big hunk of metal that gets you from point A to point B. How neat it is to be in a car to get you from point A to point B, jazzy it is or fancy it is, or, okay. I don't have a problem with you having fancy new cars as long as you pay cash for them. Otherwise, you're just going in the wrong way. You're investing money in a depreciating asset. Invest it in an appreciating asset. There's a way to hear our program no matter where you are in the world. Listen to us. You can go to iTunes, the TuneIn radio app will do it. It's free, and you can download it for your iPhone, Android, right there on investtalk.com.
Thanks for subscribing to our podcast. If you'd like to have Steve offer his professional opinion about your retirement portfolio, there's a way that you can make that happen. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Schedule an Appointment. With Skype, the telephone, fax, and email, it can all happen. We continue now with Invest Talk, and you're invited to bring any money question to Steve right now at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Well, tonight we have our webinar. Okay, it's going to start at 6:30 and go to 7:30. It's going to be an hour. And I'm condensing a three-hour conference to this 1 hour. So I need to, we're going to go through fairly quickly many things, such as, do you need a will? Do you need a trust? What's a trust? Do you know what it is? And do you know why it's important to have one? Or should you even have one? How about life insurance? Do you know the different kinds? Why do you ask yourself, do I need life insurance? I'll give you an answer. I'm going to tell you why you need it or don't need it. Do you know the difference between 529 and Coverdell? College savings plans. Do you know how much money you can put aside in each one? Or IRAs, Roth or regular IRA? What's more important? Which one should you be? And can you put a money in an IRA and a 401k? Is there limits on any of those that you can do? How much money? And it's not as simple as, oh, you can put X amount on each. It depends how much money you make, too, in some cases. You know anything about annuities? We know what there's a fixed annuity and a variable annuity. What if you annuitized your annuity? Do you know what that means? Because an insurance guy is going to ask you to do that when the annuity is coming close to being expired. They want to annuitize it. What does that mean? Is it a good idea? These are the kinds of things we're going to talk about tonight. Social Security choices. You know, there was an article I just read yesterday how important it is if you're going to do Part B when you sign up for that Part B. Within the period of time that you are retiring, you have only a certain amount of time to do things. Do you know what that stuff is? Do you know how much you're going to get in Social Security? We'll show you how to find that out. Anyways, pensions, retirement, you know. And we're also going to go over some easy, you know, a way for you to determine how much risk you want to take. You know, how much risk you should be take or how much you want to take, and then how much risk you're taking in your portfolio. We can compare that. We're going to have a little demonstration about that. Do you want to be aggressive or conservative in your portfolio? Do you know how to build one? Aggressive and a conservative portfolio or a combination of both? We're going to go over that. And where on the website can you get really good information about stocks and finding, you know, search engine? There's a real powerful website out there that not too many people heard. You heard me mention on the air, but it is really powerful stuff that, I mean, just a few years ago, you'd have to spend a fortune to get this kind of research engine. So it's going to be pretty interesting for everybody out there. So hopefully you can be there. Hopefully that's tonight at 6:30 to 7:30. And hopefully you'll be there. Of all the webinars we've done, I think this is the most comprehensive in scope. It's designed to help you come up with a plan, to shape a plan to help you take control of your financial future, your retirement, instead of just letting things go along and you don't know what's happening. Okay? On this program, you drive the discussion with your questions, as you know. We want to help fill in the blanks. 888-99-CHARGE is how you can get your question to us anytime you want.
Hello, my name is Marley, and I would like to ask a question on GE stock. What do you think about GE stock? Whether it's worth buying now, or should I wait for it to go down lower? Thank you very much.
General Electric, it sounds like. He wants to talk about GE. General Electric, of course, is another big blue chip. I mean, this is one of the biggest ones out there, $256 billion size. There's not too many companies bigger than that. Manufacturers, transportation, energy generation, consumer appliances, industrial medical equipment, big conglomerate kind of company. Now, we were talking about Honeywell. Honeywell is much smaller, but also a big blue chip. But this company is growing slower. That might be because they're $266 billion in size. They're growing their sales 1% to 3% per quarter. Earnings are going to be at 15% this year, but only 8% next year. Dividend yield is 3.3%. It's GE, good, solid company that will be around forever. And when you talk about big blue chip stocks, what you're really trying to do is buy them when they look inexpensive. Okay, and GE looked pretty good around $24.50 or so. Now it's $26.52, near its 52-week high. Okay, let me make sure of that. Yeah, well, right at the end of the year, it was at 28. here it is at 26.50. So it's not quite near its high. But there is a lot of resistance around $27. In other words, it's going up there. If you wanted to buy GE, I'd wait for a pullback, because it pulled back into the mid-20s, 24, 25, and it's been down there. It's been down there twice this year, to 24 at 24.50, and got as low as 24 and a little bit below that in this recent pullback. It's not going to be a good big grower for you. You really buy this when it gets on, when it becomes on sale, and you're buying it for the dividend, the consistency of the dividend, and with some small growth over time, it will, you know, be worth more dollars because it is growing its earnings over time. That's GE, General Electric. GE. You buy it for that dividend, 3.3. The price was down 10%, the dividend would be higher, wouldn't it? The dividend percentage is based on the price of the stock. Remember to register and get your entry code for tonight's Wealth Webinar Workshop, everybody. It's free, but you do have to sign up. And remember, it's tonight, November 12th, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific time. 6:30 to 7:30. Go to investtalk.com to sign up. Investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. I'm here to answer your money questions, whatever they may be. 888-99-CHART.
This is the Wednesday, November 12th edition of Invest Talk with Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. Instead of breaking down your assets by account, think of them as one big pie. 5 steps to rebalance your investment portfolio. That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. Please join us then. But of course, there's still plenty of time to get in today. 888-99-CHART is how to talk to Steve right now.
888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Give me a call. We'll talk about anything financial. Anything financial. So why aren't more workers being hired? We know that we're putting on 200,000 jobs or more a month, and we've done it almost every month for this whole year. So jobs are being, people are being hired, but there's 18 million people still unemployed, still can't get a job. And at the same time, we had a 15-year low on layoffs and a 13-year high on job openings. So why can't those 18 million people find jobs? What's the problem? Now, there's theories out there. And a couple of the more popular ones is companies are being very careful who they hire because it's expensive, especially in this day and age where, you know, medical costs. If a company provides medical insurance, man, they want to make sure because it's expensive. And I know that. I'm a small business guy. I know how expensive, and it's getting more and more expensive. So you want to be careful who you hire. Another, and probably the more important, and probably the more impactful reason, is companies are having trouble finding skilled workers, skilled labor. What's happened, remember, it's been so long for these 18 million people that have been out of jobs. It's been so long, their skills are no longer in demand, the skills they have. Now, maybe the corporation should think about hiring people and training them. How about that? Now, that may start happening because if the companies are having, you know, if they have the layoffs lowest in 15 years and openings the highest in 13 years, that means they're having trouble finding people. So maybe they need to start up their training programs. Hire somebody and train them. That might be a good way to avoid that. I kind of like that idea. Well, who knows? It is a good trend, though. I mean, the trend is companies are looking for workers. And this might help in the future, you know, maybe next year. Maybe it might help salaries to grow. And that's been a very big problem, non-growth of salaries. Okay, let's talk to Francisco in Concordia. How are you doing, Francisco?
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I have a question. It's about retirement. And specifically, you know, we talk about saving for retirement. We talk about planning for retirement.
Right.
What I'd like to know is what is retirement? How do you plan for it? How? What are what do you have to figure out, or what do you have to take into account
okay.
for retirement? I'm 49, uh-huh. and honestly, I was thinking maybe at 50 I could do it if I planned right. I think I have.
Okay.
Maybe I could start early, but what are the pitfalls of retirement? Is there a book? Is there some source help?
Okay. That's extremely very good questions. We're going to discuss this in depth at the webinar tonight. But you know, one of the things you really have to understand is the math involved in the years that you're going to live in retirement, because costs are going to go up dramatically over the next 30 years. Okay, they're just going to go up because they have had since 1900. So I can't imagine costs not going up. Therefore, you have to stay up with inflation and ahead of it a little bit. Okay, so that's number one. If your money, you can't have your money just sitting there in the bank and then you just collect no interest or very little interest and think that's going to last. So, first of all, you got to figure out what your costs are going to be, and then add 3% a year inflation. What's going to be my cost in retirement? So, how much is your housing cost? How much is your health cost? And don't think health costs won't go up. And so, Medicare, they don't pay for everything. They don't. They don't pay for a lot of stuff. If from age 65 to 91, the average cost out of pocket for medical expenses for everybody is $250,000. Not covered by Medicare. So these are the kinds of things you need to think about. My first question when I sit down with people, where are you going to live? Where are you going to live the rest of your life? And how much is that going to cost you? You're going to own a house? Well, you got. If you're going to own a piece of property, you got property tax, and it's going to go up every year, 2% in California, right? You got to figure that cost in.
Right.
So you start with the math, and there's a lot of websites that will help you with this. And they're called retirement calculators, and they ask all these questions. So you start taking these retirement calculators. You don't have to read books. Go to all these different websites. Just type in retirement calculators. And you do four or five of these different retirement calculators, and you'll get a good handle on what you need to know in retirement, because they're going to ask you all these various questions that you have to have the answers to if you're going to come up with a good decision and have enough money. Okay, Francisco?
Okay, thank you. You mentioned you're going to have a webinar or
tonight, yeah.
I didn't catch that I actually was able to just get in the car, start to commute home, and I turned it on, and I heard the tail end of that. Can you give that information to me again?
Sure. You go to investtalk.com, investtalk, that's investtalk.com. That's my website. And there's a link there that you can go to the webinar. You have to sign up to get a code to come in. So it's free.
Okay.
There's no cost. But so you got to go there before it opens, you know, and we start at 6:30 tonight. It's going to all be an hour. And part of it is going to be on retirement and accounts and annuities and pensions, IRAs, cost insurance, Social Security, long-term care. You know, these are the kind of topics we're going to go over fairly quickly. But, you know, these are the things that you're going to need to know, you know, in retirement.
Okay.
Thanks, Francisco.
I'll see you there.
Okay. Thanks, Francisco. Appreciate that. We set some new dates for our individual portfolio checkups. These are offered to a limited number of people and time, because I only have a limited amount of time. I meet privately. I look at your retirement portfolios, and we just talk about retirement goals and what you want to do. I make suggestions. These are strictly informational sessions. I don't try to talk into anything. That's not how I work. You can see the dates for these sessions in Northern and Southern California on InvestTalk.com.
What if there was a way you could improve your company's 401k plan to expand your choices? Make the first move. Tell your boss or HR person about KPP Financial's 401k solution. If you go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin, then write in 401k, you'll receive a packet of information that you can show your boss. And the 401k solution could save money for the company. Everybody appreciates good money-saving ideas.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Quentin, podcast listener from Massachusetts. Just listening to an older show, actually, just Friday, and they talked about jobs reports, and it just struck me. I guess I don't understand when they say jobs added and lost, how that's counted. I assume it's not just hiring. I assume it's actually a corporation ending up with more positions than before. I mean, what defines a new job? Is it strictly when a corporation adds a number of employees, and that's the added number, and when it reduces its employees, that's a loss number? I mean, how are jobs creation and job loss added? The other thing I wanted to ask is, I've always heard that there's a sort of a magic number that you need to have just to sustain the growth that we have in the population growth. So, you know, if we have zero job growth, by the fact that the population's growing, that you know, that we wouldn't really have stable employment. We'd have higher unemployment. The other question is, since we have so many baby boomers retiring, is that really still positive? I mean, from what I understand, there are a lot of baby boomers, and a lot of them are retiring sort of every month. So I guess I'm just curious about the dynamics of all of that. I can see how that magic number we need for added jobs because of the population growth might change from year to year, at least. Thanks a lot. Take care. Enjoy your podcast.
Well, okay, that's a pretty complex question. Okay, we get a jobs report every month, right? We get a unemployment claims, people losing jobs, and that comes out every week. And how many people are unemployed? Let's start with the jobs report that comes out every month. So it comes out and it says that there's 200,000 added jobs. And what they do, it's a survey. It's not completely accurate. And none of these numbers are completely accurate. But it's a survey as to how many, what the employers added to their payroll. It's a payroll number. What kind of jobs? Where? What kind of payroll? Who's added? It's just a counting of the numbers. How many jobs were added this month? And how many layoffs? How many people were fired this month? And what's the net difference? That's the number of jobs created or lost. For the unemployment rate, it's a household survey. They call up a representative number of houses and find out how many people are working or not working. And that's how it's not, what's really is interesting is not really related to the way they count the number of new jobs, the way they have an unemployment rate. It's kind of interesting. Because the unemployment rate doesn't take into consideration those workers that can't find a job and dropped off the unemployment benefits. In other words, if you stop looking for a job and you have no unemployment benefits, you're not counted as unemployed, even though you are unemployed. So when you see the unemployment rate's 5.9%, well, not really. Okay. You can look at I think it's the U6 number. That's much more accurate. But I like to look at labor participation rate. Of course, no one really wants to talk about that because it's more of a complex number. It's not just something, you know, you can figure out. When you talk about people dropping out of the labor force because they're baby boomers in retirement, they're not counted as unemployed. Okay? Only those people that are actively looking for a job are unemployed. So all these numbers are never truly accurate. Never. And you just have to understand that's how it works. I mean, you hope that they get accurate, they're as accurate as possible, but they're not. You can do with statistics. You know, statistics don't have to always be true. So we are at a very low labor participation rate. Matter of fact, the lowest it's been since they've been counting, meaning that there's a lot of people in the labor pool between ages, I think they could go from ages 24 to age 64. Something like that. I don't remember exactly. Counting those people, how many of those people, what percentage is actually working? And it's like 63%, and that's very low. Lowest it's been. That's how you really know if it's healthy or unhealthy. It's not very healthy, even though we are producing jobs. We just got a lot, as I said earlier, 18 million people not working that should be working. They're looking for jobs and want a job. That kind of thing. Then you also got this little thing about, well, are you talking about when they count the number of jobs being opened and number, are they full-time or part-time? because we've had a ton of these new jobs are part-time, not full-time. That's not good. It's just, Francisco, it's just not easy. You just have to understand the problems and the gaps in the numbers that you see, okay, that the government reports. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Gold may do something it hasn't done in 17 years. What do you think that might be? It has, in the last 17 years, gold has not gone down 2 years in a row. Gold was down about 30% last year. So far as we speak, right now, this second, gold's about 4% below when it started the year. Now, will it go lower? It could. You know, there's gold is used for a number of things. It goes up when there's weak economy. It goes up when your currency is weak. It goes up when inflation is high. Well, we don't have a weak currency. Our currency is strong, getting stronger. We have no inflation. Haven't seen that in a long time. Don't look like we're going to have it anytime soon. So those two legs of gold moving up are not in place yet. How about economy is not very strong? Well, there you might say, well, the economies in Europe and South America and Asia, they are not very strong. So to them, gold is probably rising because their currency is going down compared to ours. So gold might be an investment for them, but not necessarily for us. Now, gold is also a hedge against calamity, a hedge against disaster. So you can have precious metals as a hedge, and in fact, we do have some precious metals positions as a hedge against calamity. And because remember, in a recession, gold will go up. But are we looking at a recession? I don't think so. So, gold, you know, you got to be real careful with gold. You know, I'm not a gold bug. Even though we have some gold positions, I am not. But you know, a lot of people like to own physical gold. Nothing wrong with owning physical gold, but don't think it as a long-term investment. It really isn't. It's more of a long-term hedge against, you know, economic disaster. It's a long-term hedge. It looks pretty, but it's that kind of thing. Gold will go up in price with inflation. It'll go up in price with economic turmoil and a weakening dollar. Those are the three main things. Gold. And war also. You know, people run to gold for safety if there's a war. Those are the kinds of things you got to think about. Brandon in Mill Valley standing by. Then we'll talk to you. We've got a good 10 minutes left in the hour, so why not ask the questions you've been saving up? There's time. You can get online right now. 888-99-CHART. Do you have a question about one of our topics or call that we answered recently? We'll talk about it again if you have a different spin on it. Call us now at 888-99-CHART.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber, and we do want to hear your investing experiences. We've all grown over the years through our experiences, good and bad. You get to be anonymous, and the rest of us will enjoy knowing that we're not the only one to make a turn when maybe we should have gone straight. So we hope you'll join us on the podcast. Thanks for listening. We continue now with Invest Talk, and you're invited to bring any money question to Steve right now at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Braden in Mill Valley. How are you doing, Braden? Brandon, I'm sorry.
I'm doing good, Steve.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering, with the downturn in gold, how safe the GGN stock is.
Well, GGN, GAMCO Global Gold Natural Resources, they pay a 13.5% dividend. Of course, that's what's the attractive part of this whole, that this particular closed-in fund. that invests in equity securities of companies engaged in the gold and natural resource industries. So the question is, how safe is that dividend, 13.5%? I don't think you can use the word safe. I really don't. I think you can assume that it is pretty. They've been doing it a long time. Let's put it that way. And they're not issuing new shares to pay it. Okay, there's not like they're doing things that is not sustainable. And now this thing has fallen from $11 down to those almost $8 now in the last 3 months or so. So the question is that's why the dividend yield is so high, because the stock price fell. So the question is, can it maintain that dividend? And we own this in our managed accounts, by the way, Brandon. And I can tell you that from our research, they should be able to maintain the dividend. They should be able to. So it's really, you're going to use this as kind of a hedge, and at the same time, you get some income as you hold on to it. You know, that's kind of what you do. Okay?
All right, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Brandon.
Could I say one more thing about these 529 plans?
Sure.
People should be aware that if you put money in a 529 plan for your child, it will count against him when he tries to go get aid and scholarships.
That's right.
Going to college.
It's one of the things I'll be.
People should be aware that it may be better to just, you cut my account or something else.
Yeah, I agree. It is a good, important point. One of the things I was going to mention on tonight's show in the conference. So appreciate the call. Thanks, Braden. Thank you, Braden. Yeah, you got to remember when you're looking for loans, college loans, when your kid is up there, they're going to look at you as the parents, how much money you got, how much money is the kid got for education. They're going to look at the Coverdell and the 529 plans if you set them up, and they're going to tell you, you got to use those up before we give you a loan. So you got to be aware of those kinds of things. Don't just, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily a smart thing to put in a 529 plan. Maybe just put the money aside. You know, anyways. Washington, D.C. asked Europe to do something about their economy. U.S. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew, L-E-W, Lew, said, quote, I mean, this is a quote. Remember, there's a G20 meeting coming up here really quick. They said France and Italy should rein in their budget deficit slowly. That's what France and Italy should do. Rein in their budget deficit slowly, not fast. Well, they're going to make structural changes, and I don't see them doing any of that, really. And he also said Germany and the Netherlands need to open up their purse strings. He said the ECB is not doing enough. Needs to step it up. Now, the ECB is a European Central Bank. What are they going to do? See, it's not like our Fed. It's not like the Japan Central Bank. The Central Bank of European is European Central Bank over, 17 countries? All have different rules, regulations, different growth rates, different. So what are if you're the ECB, what do you buy? You know, to try to put money into the system, to liquefy the system. Do you buy sovereign debt? Whose? Which country? And what country is going to be very upset you're not buying theirs? How do you do that? Do you buy a basket of debt in various countries? Germany doesn't want it to issue more debt. You see, you got all these different tug of wars going on, the different political systems in the EU, European Union. So their central bank doesn't have the authority or the impact our central bank does, or the Japanese central bank. They only have to worry about one government, ours and Japan. So this is a problem with, you know, European Central Bank. Most experts think that Europe is not doing nearly enough to get them out of the economic woes they're in. And they may have a lost decade like the Japanese did. Before we close the hour, a reminder to register now for our Wealth Workshop webinar coming up this evening, 6:30, which is an hour and a half from now. We have a detailed checklist for prepping you and your portfolio for a comfortable retirement. You can register for free at investtalk.com, InvestTalk with two T's. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, we thank you for listening, and we'll talk with you tonight at 6:30 Pacific Time.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.